Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is
August 16th, 2018. Why do you have the 6th?
August 23rd.
Yeah, Dad.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, you can always find updates of the breaking news of Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube. It's on some FM stations. So pray about supporting radio airtime, and I can't tell you how much alternate media, which is what we are, independent media, is important to this country and to the world. So support us. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is places like
Isomers in Providence, Turkey, Chiba City, Chiba Prefecture, Japan, Sofia, Bulgaria, Kuta, Nigeria, and of course the good old USA, Honolulu, Hawaii, Oakland, California, Seattle, Washington, Mesa, Arizona, and as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners that will listen to the podcast when it posts later tonight.
Okay. Also, share us and follow us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. And I will say one thing about Twitter right now. Twitter right now is having, like the other two medias, not as much as like Frank calls it, Fedbook, and YouTube, about censoring conservatives. But the people are really fighting back, folks, over there at on Twitter. They are in fact, my list of followers has increased almost 250 followers just since last night. And so get over there and follow us and share us on Twitter. Read the messages and then forward them. And so we're in a battle, folks. Anyway, now prayer will get on with the program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that this program reaches the people and give everybody your truth, Father, and not our truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, there's so much going on, and I'm going to start this off. I'm going to read you something that I'm talking to my wife and you folks. I'm going to read something that Michael Snyder, you folks remember him, he's on the radio a lot, but then for about a year he's had a hiatus. In other words, he ran for Congress. Well, he didn't win his win for Congress, but his wife just had a brand new baby. Congratulations, shortly ago. And they decided before he gets back into the prophecy world and starts appearing on radio and TV programs like he is just doing updates, you know, and putting out different things. Now, I hope I don't lose my voice. But anyway, this is one of his reports that he put out, and this is on his website called The Most Important News. Now, he says, large earthquakes hit Oregon, Alaska, and Mexico, and the number of major earthquakes over the last 7 days rises to 157. North America has been hit by three major earthquakes within the last 24 hours. This came out last night. A magnitude 6.2 earthquake struck just off the coast of Oregon earlier on Wednesday and was followed by a magnitude 5.3 earthquake in Mexico that was so powerful it was felt all the way to Mexico City. Just a few hours ago, an enormous magnitude 6.3 earthquake hit Alaska. The Ring of Fire has awakened, but up until the last 24 hours, America had been largely spared. Something truly unusual appears to be happening to our planet, and many are deeply concerned that the rise in seismic activity could be building up to a major event. Yesterday, I reported that 144 major earthquakes had occurred over the last 7 days, but now that number has risen much higher. I just checked the USGS, folks, that's the one that reports earthquakes, that the number of earthquakes over the past 7 days has now risen to 157. In case you're wondering, that is not normal. For example, the West Coast has now been hit, and it's finally starting to take notice. A huge 6.3 magnitude earthquake struck off the coast of Oregon on America's West Coast today. That would have been yesterday. The quake registered 188 miles from the coastal city of Bandon and has marked fears from the so-called big one that could hit near California. Just a few weeks ago, two earthquake swarms hit Cascadia, Seduction Zone, in less than a week. So the fact that the latest earthquake hit the exact same area is definitely raising concerns. That's how they start off, with a minor one, and then it gets bigger and bigger. Now, then, of the days, the big one will hit, it last struck in 1700. That was the biggest one. And it sunk the stretch by as much as 20 meters, though there was no written records of the natural disaster. The death toll from that magnitude 9 quake is still unclear, but is understood to have unleashed a tsunami that traveled 5,000 miles across the Pacific to Japan. It's estimated that Cascadia is the potential of a seismic more event, 30 times more powerful than the one they're worrying about at the San Andreas Fault going through California. Now, the head of the FEMA division that oversees Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Alaska once publicly stated, in the event of a magnitude 9.0 earthquake, okay, head of FEMA says, if a 9.0 earthquake hit, everything west of Interstate 5 will be toast. And Interstate 5 is basically, you know, we're talking about the whole West Coast. By the time shaking has ceased, the tsunami has receded, the region will be unrecognizable. our operating assumption is everything west of Interstate 5 will be toast. In the Pacific Northwest, everything west of Interstate 5 covers 140,000 square miles. That's a lot of miles.
Yeah.
That's including Seattle, Tacoma, Portland, Eugene, Salem, the capital city of Oregon, Olympia, the capital of Washington State, some 7 million people. So are you understanding that? Now Michael goes on and says, are you starting to understand the gravity of the situation? Scientists have predicted the big one could trigger a tsunami of 85-foot high waves that could drown as many as 33,000 people on the West Coast. More than 160 experts have since 2013 gathered to develop the Oregon Resilience Plan. If the big one is to happen, it can devastate and affect the regional and national economy. Okay, now, earthquakes are one thing, but these things are coming quicker and they're more, you know, together. And we'll get to the why of the place in a minute. But first, before we do that, I'm now pulled up a fire, weather, avalanche, map, and I'm showing my wife here this, all the fires burning, and tell the folks where the fires are burning at. What part of the United States?
The West Coast.
The West Coast.
It's all on fire.
Okay, well, now where were we just talking about with the earthquakes?
The West Coast.
So, folks, I cannot tell you, this should set, don't you think that should set off some kind of alarm bell?
Yeah, leave the West Coast or die.
Leave the West Coast or die. So what is the West Coast? I mean, you know, think about this for a minute. Who lives on the West Coast mostly? And I know Frank
lives over does.
There. Well, besides Frank, and there are some good people that live over there, but, you know, when you live it, but we're talking about things like Hollywood and the liberals and all of that. That's where all that stuff is based and coming out of. It's there in the East Coast is New York. In fact, what's really amazing that there's been some prophecies given that says that, that the Father would draw people to the right parts of the country, you know, and we're seeing an exodus of people, a lot of people coming out of the center of the United States that are rich. And they're moving to the liberal states. The liberal states are located on the East and West Coast. And you see poorer people that can't afford the values and living in that state. Guess what?
They're coming to the center.
They're coming to the center of the United States. And so, to me, that says something because I've been following a lot of Bible prophecy, of course, all these years. And so let me give them something else. Okay, let me see if I can find it. Here we go. No. Okay, give me a second, folks. Okay. This is a message for America. Now, do you think you can read this?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, we'll read it loudly to the speaker.
September 1984. Late one night, I could not sleep. The children were sleeping on the luggage. My wife and daughter were crying. I went outside and walked around. I didn't want them to see me cry. I walked around the building crying and saying, God, why did you punish me? Why did you bring me into this country? I can't understand anybody. If I try to ask anybody anything, all I hear is, I don't know.
Stop for a second. Okay, folks, she's reading a prophecy given September 1984 from Dmitri Dudeman, a message that he was brought to America to give. Go on.
I stopped in front of the apartment and sat on a large rock. Suddenly, a bright light came toward me. I jumped to my feet because it looked as if a car was coming directly at me, attempting to run me down. I thought the Romanian secret police had tracked me to America, and now they were trying to kill me. But it wasn't a car at all. As the light approached, it surrounded me. From the light, I heard the same voice that I had heard so many times in prison. He said, Dmitri, why are you so despaired? I said, why did you punish me? Why did you bring me into this country? I have nowhere to lay my head down. I can't understand anybody. He said, Dmitri, didn't I tell you I am here with you also? I brought you to this country because this country will burn. I said, then why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in my own country? You should have let me die in jail in Romania, he said. Dmitri, have patience, so I can tell you, get on this. I got on something next to him. I don't know what it was. I only know that I was asleep.
Oh.
I was not asleep. It was not a dream. It was not a vision. I was awake, just as I am now.
Okay. Now, folks, this is an angel, according to Dmitri Dudeman. This is an angel speaking to Dmitri Dudeman. He brought him to America, as you mentioned, prison. He helped him get, because he was locked up in prison for giving Bibles in Romania. But we don't have time to go into that full story. If you go over to the pastor's page, you can find all this. But okay, now then.
Now remember this now.
Yeah.
He showed me all of California and said, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. All of this in one day. Excuse me. All of this in one day, it will burn. Its sin has reached the Holy One. Then he took me to Las Vegas. This is Sodom and Gomorrah, and one day it will burn. Then he showed me the state of New York. Do you know what this is? He asked. I said, no. He said, this is New York. This is Sodom and Gomorrah, and one day it will burn. Then he showed me all of the Florida. This is Florida. He said, this is Sodom and Gomorrah, and one day it will burn.
Okay, folks. So now the kind of fire we're not talking about is not the same, but the Father, whenever he wipes something out, he gives warnings. These that we're seeing is warnings, but I believe the warning is for the same reason the angel told him, because this is Sodom and Gomorrah. This is where all the slut, all the transvestites and transgender, the gays, all of that is coming out and infecting the rest of the country, and it's coming from the East and West Coast. Absolutely. In fact, that's what happens in America. It always has. It's just like when the hippie movement finally got to Kansas, it was almost over. But it had been going on for years in California, but that's how it progresses. Now, though, the progression is quicker because we have the Internet and so on and so forth. But the point is so these are the same places that are burning, and earthquakes have gone. In fact, Dimitri Dudeman's grandson even predicted that he was told that there would be a great earthquake before this happened in where? California and the West Coast. Let's go on.
Then he took me back home to the rock where he had begun. And one day it will burn. All of this I have shown you, I said. How will it burn? He said, remember what I tell you, what I am telling you. Because you will go on television, on the radio, and in the churches. You must yell with a loud voice. Do not be afraid, because I will be with you. I said, how will I be able to go? Who knows me here in America? I don't know anybody here, he said. Don't worry yourself. I will go before you. I will do a lot of healing in the American churches, and I will open the doors for you. But do not say anything else besides what I tell you. This country will burn. I said, what will you do with the church? He said, I want to save the church, but the churches have forsaken me. I said, how did they forsake you? He said, the people praise themselves. The honor that the people are supposed to give Yeshua, they take upon themselves. In the churches, there are divorces. There is adultery in the churches. There's homosexuals in the churches. There's abortion in the churches and all other sins that are possible. Because of all the sin, I have left some of the churches. You must yell with a loud voice that they must put an end to all their sinning. They must turn toward the Lord. The Lord never gets tired of forgiving. They must draw close to the Lord and live a clean life. If they have sinned until now, they must put an end to it and start a new life as the Bible tells them to live.
Okay, now this is just, now people look at the churches. You know, church used to preach about sin, and now it's like the bigger the church, it seems that they're having mega shows. It's like, you know, you're almost going to a concert with some of the. Now, I'm not against great praise and worship, but when they're turning into shows and circuses, like remember that one where I told them they actually had
girls
circus,
on poles?
Well, you know, spinning around, circus act, actually. But, you know, so these things are going on inside the church when it used to be just the Holy Spirit that fired you up and the message of conviction. People say they don't want to go to church because they don't want to be convicted. They don't want the preacher up there to say something that might be a sin that they're doing, even though the preacher usually isn't like he's singling out a person. It's just that he's talking to everybody, but some of them have those sins. And so, I don't want to hear that. Well, nowadays they just go to the church down the street, you know. But the point is with all that going on in the church used to be the warning bell for the country. It always has been. In fact, Paul Revere that ran out and said, the British are coming. Most history tries to just point to him as being a printer, you know, and that kind of guy, but he was a pastor, you know. So, when they first started the United States, they had church in the Capitol building. Every Sunday, there was church. They held church there. And so all of this separation away from God has caused this problem, but the problem with the church is where I'm getting at. They became a 501(c). They turned into a corporation, and so they're not the way that they are supposed to be. And they are supposed to be the warning bell for the rest of the nation. They are supposed to be the warning bell for you. I mean, come on, people go, well, I go to church, you know, well, my pastor didn't tell me that, so why should I stand up? And so we see the results of that and all the smut and the bad things and so on and so forth that are happening. So now the Father's taken a warning shot at the West Coast and at America in whole. There's earthquakes right now in unison with what? In unison with the fires. In fact, we'll get a report about the fires. Maybe if we can get Frank to tell us how bad it is up there. But anyway, WichitaHomeless.com is a good place to go look us up, or you can go to prophecyhour.com. At prophecyhour.com, you will find everything you need to know about our ministry. And if not, call me and talk about it. So we'll be back in how many minutes?
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And we'll get to, usually at this point, when you're not with me, I always usually talk about the Wichita Mission Church. But we'll save that. So we will get on with the program. Now, right now, we were talking about all the smoke and everything in California and the West Coast. I want to bring Frank, our producer, in because, you know, the station is located in Eagle Point, Oregon. And I just read that there was an earthquake. I want to know if you felt the earthquake, and I want to know if how the smoke is there. So, Frank, if you are listening, which I think you are, then what about that? How is it over there?
Well, I didn't know there was an earthquake, so apparently I didn't feel that. But the smoke, oh, man, the smoke. I'm an expert on the smoke. It's been bad here, and I mean bad. You know, where I was just commenting last night because the smoke had gotten less bad to where you couldn't really. I mean, you probably would, but after a month and a week, you know, we don't even. I mean, we're just walking around in this fog constantly. That once in a while it gets so bad you can hardly breathe.
Right.
But even when it's like it is right now where it seems like, oh, okay, this isn't so bad. Well, it isn't so bad unless I go outside and look around and try to see that, like, the hills in front of me, and I can't because they're covered in smoke, which is really strange because you look at that and you go, oh, my gosh, this looks bad. How come I'm able to breathe and it's not bothering me, right? Well, I'll tell you what, our bodies are amazing what we will adapt to. I'm not saying this is probably very bad for all of our health out here, but...
people that have asthma and things like that, well, you know, let me ask you that. Do you have asthma?
No.
Or COPD?
No, never had any. I was relatively good health before all this. Now I don't know anymore. But before that, all I can imagine is everybody who has any kind of breathing condition at all just can't go outside.
Okay. How long have you said this been like that?
A month and a week.
A month and a week.
Yep. We had one night of about 4 hours where the wind shifted to come from an area that has no fires and blew the smoke out of here. So we had about, in a month and a week, we had about 4 hours that was actually clear. And that's the problem. See, where I live, there are fires. And when I say this, don't get the impression that we are under danger right now of being burned or anything, because we're not, because they're far away. When I mean far away, I mean like, you know, 40 miles, 50 miles, stuff like that. But the problem is they're all around us, okay? So no matter which way the wind blows, we are getting smoke from some fire in this valley. So that's why we haven't had any relief. Because, you know, we have forest fires out here yearly.
Right.
You know, and sometimes we never even get any smoke from the forest fires that are going on because the wind just didn't blow that way and, you know, we don't get it, right? But this year,
right,
it's just been relentless. It doesn't go away because it's all around us. And no matter which way the wind blows, except, like I said, for 4 hours that one night, the wind came from a direction which is straight east, by the way, which the wind doesn't usually blow from the east. Everything goes from west to east, not east to west.
Right.
So it's been bad. It's been very bad. The smoke has been really bad, and the fire has destroyed, like, big parts of Redding, California. It's terrible.
Okay, so my question to you is this. You've been there for a while. You should be able to answer this quite legitimately. After all, I'm in Kansas. So I'm saying all these fires that are there is not normal. Is that right or not?
Well, the intensity is not normal, okay? Having fires is somewhat normal, you know, because it gets really dry here and we have a lot of forests and, you know, we get lightning strikes and that starts them and people are, you know, kind of dumb and they do dumb things and they start them. So it's normal to have some forest fires, but the intensity, even the amount of them is not all that odd, but the intensity is the odd part. And, you know, we're calling them super fires now. And really, I'm going to make this clear, and I do this every chance I get on any radio I get on.
Right.
I blame the Clinton administration for this because they're the ones that came up with the policy to shut down the forest and no longer actually manage them, but just let them grow. And, well, we call that fuel here. And now they've created a situation where, yes, we get fires. Yeah, they didn't do that. But they created it and made it so, like, it gets worse. It's like saying, well, you know, this place goes on fire quite a bit, so I know what we're going to do. We're going to put a gasoline dump there. We're gonna store barrels of gasoline right there. That ought to be a good idea. You know, and that's basically what they've done.
Right. Let me come in here for a second. For the record, that's what I was telling my wife about. By not managing it, you know, I you can tell that just by looking in our yard, you know, which our yard does need some cleaned up because every year you get dead branches falling, you know, and they fall to the ground, and that's fuel for the fires. That's what he's talking about. And so the idiot people, and I will call Clinton's idiots, okay, people say that's not Christian to call people names, but the point is the environmentalist situation, oh, just leave the forest alone, has really amplified this. Yes, it's normal to have fires in those places, but it's not normal for this. And so, anyway, Frank,
I was just going to say one thing. I'm surprised that you guys don't have the smoke seeping into your houses.
We do.
Go ahead and answer it.
We do.
That's what I was going to say.
I mean, here in the studio, I have to keep it open and all that, and, you know, the equipment has to be cooled, and there's just no... You know, there's nothing else I can do. But in my house, I pay pretty close attention to the smoke. And when it cuts down, I go in there and I turn my fan so it blows the cooler air in the house. And then when the smoke starts getting bad again, I run in there and I turn the fan so it blows the air out of the house.
Right.
And that's the only thing that we have any relief at all. And it's still, you know, it's still getting in there. But it's getting in there a lot less because when you do that, it has to seep, like, under your doors and things like that, you know. And the smoke doesn't really do that real well. It likes to just kind of free flow in. Like, if you put a fan in your window and blow it in, then you'll get it. But if you kind of do it the other way, I've noticed you don't get it. And I've just shut the windows completely at times when it's gotten really bad and just turn the fans on and blow around the air that's in the house already. And... yeah, it gets really hot, but the heat is better than the smoke. So it's terrible.
Okay. Well, thanks for your input, Frank. And we'll talk to you in a little while. That'll be in the second program. Got some really interesting information, Chet. So clearly, this is not normal, you know, especially not normal for Frank particularly is at. And he's in Oregon. But mind you, these are all up and down the West Coast, you know, so these fires are raging. But it, my point is it's also happening at the same time where earthquakes. I don't know where Eagle Point, Oregon is towards this earthquake that went off there, but it was a major quake there. Point is I believe it's warning. We should, when things are happening that aren't coincidence, you understand, you know, sure, we're going to have earthquakes, we're going to have thunderstorms, but when things come from multiple places, and you see that if we know our Bible, then we should understand that they're warnings. Just like this, and this is in 1 Thessalonians, which the pre-trib rapture people like to say, oh, yeah, Yeshua is coming as a thief of the night. But they miss the total point of 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 5, from 1 to 28, it says, now concerning the times and the season, brothers, you have no need of anything I've written to you. This is Paul talking. For yourselves are fully aware that the day of Yahweh, the Lord, in the King James Version, will come like a thief in the night. Now, they stopped there, and they said, see, now there's going to be a rapture. You're all going to fly out. That's not what this is saying. What it's saying, let me tell you the rest of it. It says, while people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come from them as labor pains come from a pregnant woman. They will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day of day to surprise you like a thief. For you are children of the light, children of the day. You are not children of the night or darkness. Now, these things have no power over you because what he's saying, I don't have to tell you these things are coming because you know fully aware that they are. The people that it's going to come to as a thief are the people that are unaware. They're just completely going on. This isn't talking about a pre-trib rapture. It says, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of Yahweh will come like a thief in the night. People say sudden destruction. Now, let me ask you a question. Destruction. Now, they claim the rapture is going to be like a thief in the night, real quiet. Well, that's not what the word says. It's going to be sudden destruction. You're going to know it. There's going to be sudden destruction. In fact, it even say with loud noises and other places, it talks about it being greatly loud.
And the surprise is Yeshua's not coming till the after all the bad happens.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely, amen. But my point to pointing to this is saying that we should know the time and the season.
Right.
So if we look out here, there's, let's talk about going back, talking about California in particular. So what do we see? We see an outpouring of evil coming out of California. And I know I got some radio listeners out there in California, and I don't know how you can exist among these people, but I do know that I do know there are some good people in California. Having said that, it's also that's where the evil's coming from by a large shot. The transgenderism, all these things that the Father says is an abomination. You know, not something that we can mess with. He says an abomination. I don't want to even get near anything close to acceptance of it. It's not acceptable. So we see that coming out of there. Then we see the same thing coming from a place. Then you see earthquakes coming. Okay, well, now they're saying, well, the West Coast could be wiped out and soon. And then we have these horrendous fires coming from there. Now, to me, I'm praying that you folks that live in California, if you can't change the people over there, unless you just have a particular mandate from the Father, I wouldn't stay there. Just like we're seeing rich people moving into California, the multi-rich, which it says it's hard for it. And some rich people, yeah, amen, out there. In fact, we had a millionaire donate $25,000 to us about 2 years ago. So I have not, rich people can get into heaven, but it's harder for them to do. But the rich are moving there. That should say something. The rich are moving there, and the poor are moving out. And so we have all these things coupled, so I think we should be taking as a warning that not only just for California, but we're talking about the world. These things are coming upon us, just like the neglecting. You know, the largest, the biggest numbers of homelessness now are in Los Angeles. California. And yet, these are also the same people that are telling us and trying, remember the liberals, that's where they're manifested out to no state. They're the ones trying to change the country. If we lose the House, they're going to try and impeach Trump. They're going to try and turn back all the things that we put out a stop for. So you'll see if the liberals took over, and I said this before, if the liberals take over, then what will happen is you'll see every manner of these evil things happening just commonplace. They're going to teach it in a school. They're going to go against everything Christian. These things are already done, but we're trying to put a stop to it. So if we lose the House, if we don't exercise our right to vote and actually do it, then we're in trouble. And I don't know. I know that I believe that Trump was sent. I believe that he was picked by the Father to give this nation a chance. But it's up to us as believers to also get off out of our chair. You know, face
and stand behind him.
Yeah, face an action word. You know, the big problem I'm having with a lot of Christians is you know, you don't just sit down. You know, faith is
and let somebody else do it.
Right. You need to get up and move on it and get up and move on it, your faith. So, you know, like the Bible says, it talks about in James chapter 2, it says that, you know, if you meet, and I'm just going to paraphrase, but you folks should go to James chapter 2 and read it. It talks about, you know, if you come upon a person that needs a coat or clothing, you know, and it says, well, you don't just pray for them and send them on your way. It says, don't you give him the things that are needful? In other words, not just pray for him, but try to give him a coat. So, you know, while it's great to pray for people, your people of faith are supposed to get up and fulfill those things if we can. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, so we're not in darkness, brothers and sisters, for that day should not come to you as a surprise, because your people are the word. Get out there and warn, and you need to warn your church above all. And, you know, Yeshua says he didn't come to send fire on the earth, but that I will. He said, if it's already kindled, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and I am straitened till be it all else accomplished. Suppose I did not come to give you peace on the earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. From henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That's in Matthew 10:36. Those are also signs of the coming, meaning that all the rebellion in households, you know, you see that.
That is manifested right now.
How many families, do you see a lot of, more families are apart than together, are they not?
Oh, yes, by far.
By far.
Very rarely even see a family with the same mom, the same dad, and all the biological brothers and sisters. Everybody has step.
Right. There may be three children and three different fathers.
Or three different mothers.
Or four. Just depending on...
How can you have three kids and four moms? Oh, because a stepmom.
Well, a stepmom, some of them, you know, yeah, you understand what I'm saying there. You know, yeah, it's not that... Yeah, exactly. Stepmom. That covered it pretty well. Anyway, yeah, absolutely.
So are you going to finish Dimitri's vision?
Yeah, I guess we'll finish that real quick.
Because it was the interesting part was next was about, let me just read it. And I said, how will America burn? America is the most powerful country in the world. Why did you bring us here to burn? Why didn't you at least let us die where all the Dudemans have died? And he said, remember this, Dimitri. The Russian spies have discovered where the nuclear warehouses are in America. When the Americans will think that this is peace and safety, from the middle of the country, some of the people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems. And then from the oceans, from Cuba, Nicaragua, Mexico, and he told me two other countries, but I didn't remember what they were, they will bomb the nuclear warehouses, and when they explode, America will burn.
Stop for a second. Real quickly, folks, and Cuba, Nicaragua, and Mexico, those, especially Mexico, you look, they are turning against the United States, but this fighting against the government
is happening.
It's happening right now, but I believe that if they throw Trump out of office, you know, or something happens, I believe that the Patriots will stand up and there will be a civil war. If
right.
not brought on by one side, it'll be brought on the other side. And then while we're sidetracked with that, it'll come. Okay.
What will you do with the Church of the Lord? How will you save the ones that will turn toward you, I ask. He said, tell them this. How I saved the three young men, the three young ones from the furnace of fire, and how I saved Daniel in the lion's den is the same way I will save them. The angel of the Lord also told me I have blessed this country because of the Jewish people who are in this country. I have 7 million Jews in this country, but they do not want to recognize the Lord. They didn't want to thank God for the blessings they received in this country. Israel doesn't want to recognize Yeshua. They put their faith in the Jewish people in America. But when America burns, the Lord will raise China, Japan, and other nations to go against the Russians. They will beat the Russians and push them all the way to the gates of Paris. Over there, they will make a treaty and appoint the Russians as their leaders. Then they will unite against Israel. Oh my. When Israel realizes she does not have the strength of America behind her, she will be frightened. That's when she will turn to the Messiah for deliverance. That's when the Messiah will come. Then the church will meet Yeshua in the air, and he will bring them back to him, to the Mount of Olives. At that time, the Battle of Armageddon will be fought.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. And that lines with biblical prophecy. A lot of people say, well, that's out of date because Dimitri has passed away since, but so have all the biblical prophets aren't
and
here.
It's all coming to pass. Everything in there is coming to pass.
Right. People don't understand when a prophecy is given. They're always waiting, because that's the way that we are nowadays. A prophecy is given and you think, well, has it happened in a year or so? It's not going to happen. Well, he didn't ever put a date on that. There was never a
right.
date stamp put on that. But
it'll happen, and it's happening.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, folks, now, you can go over, I put a link over there so you can get all the Dimitri Dudeman's things. You go to the pastor's page, you can find it. So now then, we're starting to come out of summer, and I was actually able to get radio caught up thanks to a blessing that we received. But so I think the funds are going to start coming back. I mean, summer is always terrible for funds. So are you seeing any difference? I mean, because you're the one who pays the bills. Are you seeing any difference?
Yeah, I'm pretty well mostly caught up. I still need a little bit to go, but I'm doing pretty good. I mean, right now I'm doing fairly good at the church. I have a couple sales that are going on until Tuesday. If anybody wants to help out with meat, Dylan's has meat right now. Hamburgers $1.79 a pound.
Oh.
And that's for a 5-pound roll for $9. And that one 5-pound roll feeds 60 people. So if anybody wants to help me stock up on some hamburger while it's on sale till Tuesday, that'd be great. And right now we are out of eggs at the church, so going to be making biscuits and gravy Friday unless the money comes for eggs.
Right. Well, eggs is an ongoing thing because we could go through up to 15 dozen a day that, each day that we're open. So eggs is always a big thing. We always need eggs. So you folks, and I'm mainly talking to a lot of you folks over there in Wichita,
we just had a donation of 30 eggs come last week. They're all gone. No, there's not an egg in the church.
Right. Amen. And so that's what I mean. So if you see, don't think that, number one, we have a place to keep them, right?
We have a walk-in refrigerator.
Right. And it's pretty bare.
Let me tell you, it seems like when there's 100 eggs in there, they're sure gone awful fast. And it makes you realize how many eggs you go through.
Yeah. Well, but that's good, great protein for the poor because,
right.
that's protein. It's good for them.
Well, we're famous for egg sandwiches. Who has the best egg sandwich in Wichita? Messiah's Brent, or excuse me, Pastor Dan's, because they'll call it Messiah's Brent, they call it Pastor Dan's.
Well, they're starting to get shocked. We never had the sign, out of all that, all these years, we never had a sign on the outside that said Messiah's Brent.
We did too. We had it painted on the window church on Maple. It said Messiah's Brent, and the Lord was
right.
on the church from the get go, the lady. From the doctor's office, from the other church.
It faded off, but,
And then we had a big tapestry on
now,
the top.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Stop.
We got beautiful signs.
Nobody looks up there now. But tell them about the new stuff.
Oh, we got two beautiful signs now that Mike painted for us that really, really
well,
are.
Who's Mike?
that's a fellow that comes, it's an older gentleman, him and his wife come and volunteer, and he's a retired painter, and so he redid the bus and both the signs, and it really looks wonderful, and it actually makes the church stand out more.
Yeah,
more noticeable by far. You can see those signs from way far away. They're really wonderful signs.
Yeah,
and I figured out all by myself that the line on the side of the building is Yahweh, and the line on the front of the building is Yeshua.
I don't know how she figured that out, folks, but that she's
trust me.
She's a woman. That's how she figured it out. But anyway, so folks, we're also out of. I did get a couple of Bibles in the mail, but we're out of King James. The one Bible I have left, I will give it away next week. But we need King James Version Bibles, preferably large print. These were really good large print Bibles that came.
And I will say, I have noticed since the Trump administration, prices have started going down. They're the lowest that I've seen in years. Like, I just got 25 pounds of sugar yesterday for $7.89. I've paid up to $15.95 for 25 pounds of sugar. I could have bought two bags.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
I was in shock. That's the lowest I've seen it in years. And I seen gas for $2.19.
Yeah, it's starting.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to start going down. It'll even get better. In fact, I just read before we came on the air that Target is reporting some of the they were having a lot of problems, but now they're just happy as a lark because people are coming in. You know, they're seeing huge sales. You know, in other words, like a lot of people, they're seeing people spending.
And I've gotten milk for $1.89 a gallon. That stuff was up almost $6 a gallon. Whoa.
Yeah. Amen. Well, anything else you want to say before I tell them goodbye?
Well, just pray about supporting us and be led by the Father.
Okay. Well, folks, now you can donate online, mail, check, or money order. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, at prophecyhour.com. Now then, we must remember, folks, that there really, really, really is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. And he gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's really important. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, folks, when you go into the feast this year, part of the Torah that it says for the feast is that you donate, give to the poor. Don't leave them without. Do you have something else you want to say?
Yes, remember, blessings always come from your heart.
But, okay, blessings always come from, that's my, okay. All right, so now then. Anyway, okay, I don't have much time.
Okay.
Anyway, remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Till next week, shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.